Chapter 20.
So Kira was coming with them instead of staying behind? Why would she give up all this to go back to the sewers with Lady Proxima?
Han didn't understand it. But as they walked from the viewing lounge to the passenger dock, he was afraid to mention it, or even speak to her, in case she came to her senses and changed her mind.
A hollow clang sounded as the extending airlock tunnel hit the hull of the Red Nimbus. Magnets sealed it in place. Then air hissed while the pressure and atmosphere stabilized inside. The hatch opened before them. Jenra produced the data cube and handed it to Kira.
I leave this in your care.
Su'ulo? He stepped forward, and Kira handed him the cube. You've carried it this far. Might as well go all the way.
Thank you,
he said solemnly. She replied, You're welcome, before Han had a chance to translate. This was it. The sign he'd been waiting for. Kira was staying. She'd handed the cube to Su'ulo because she wouldn't be joining them on the Kaldana ship.
He should be happy for her. She'd get off of Corellia, see the far reaches of the galaxy, and have a chance to use and develop her talents in ways he suspected he couldn't fully grasp. But he didn't like it. He couldn't say why exactly, just that he had a very bad feeling about Kira taking that job.
You're to hand it over, then wait for them to confirm the contents, Jenra explained, primarily to Kira, but with one eye on Su'ulo. After that, they'll transfer money to both me and Lady Proxima. Once I've received the money, I'll transmit the encryption key. Then they'll escort you to a shuttle and fly you back down to Corellia. I don't know if the shuttle is equipped with a hyperdrive, so it might be a long journey. But you'll get home eventually.
That doesn't sound too complicated, Han said.
Su'ulo held the cube between his thumb and forefinger, staring at it. He was holding more than a billion credits worth of merchandise in his hand. Han wanted to remember this moment. The far end of the airlock hissed open, revealing a young woman in Kaldana black. Han was glad to note that her blaster remained holstered.
If he made it back to Corellia alive, he was going to acquire a blaster somehow. It wasn't fair that he kept showing up to gunfights armed with luck and charm.
Last chance, Kira, Jenra said. They all looked at her.
Han's heart was in his throat. Kira couldn't keep the emotion from her face. Her brow was knit, her lips parted. Han tried to find a little sympathy, but couldn't. He wanted to scream at her not to stay on the Red Nimbus. He wanted to hit something. Finally, Su'ulo said in the softest voice Han had ever heard from him,
I will miss you, Kira, my friend.
Han didn't know if Kira understood, but she looked at Su'ulo, then at Han, and back to Su'ulo, who suddenly reached his arms out, drew her close, and embraced her soundly. Kira remained stiff in Su'ulo's arms for the space of a breath. Then, to Han's very great surprise, Kira hugged the little Rhodian right back. Then Kira extricated herself, turned to the engineer. Did Han imagine that her eyes were moist with tears? I'm sorry, she said. I won't leave my friends. Han felt all the air return to his lungs. But Jenra shrugged like it was no big deal.
In that case, I wish you all the very best.
She turned to go, leaving them in the entrance to the airlock. Kira stepped forward, ready to be the first one through. Suddenly, Jenra whirled back around, gripped Kira by the shoulders, and pulled her close to whisper something in her ear. Kira's eyes narrowed thoughtfully. The engineer stepped away, but their gazes remained locked. Kira nodded some kind of understanding. Then Jenra disappeared into the bowels of her yacht, and a voice behind them said,
Come on! We haven't got all day!
The three of them stepped through the airlock.
This way, the Kaldana woman said. Everyone's waiting for you in the conference room.
The insides of the Kaldana ship were as ugly as the outsides. The corridors were small and crowded with cargo boxes, tools, gear, even a few sleeping pallets. The lights flickered on and off,
indicative of an engine problem. Kira's eyes took in everything, as though memorizing it all. She was concentrating so hard she almost tripped over a sleeping pallet. Or maybe she had just pretended to trip, because it brought the two of them head to head. Han grabbed the sleeve of her jacket. He whispered,
"What did Genra say to you back there?"
Kira yanked Saulo close. Talking fast and low, she said, "We need to escape from this ship as soon as possible. Once the exchange is made, Genra thinks we should run for it."
"Benga de,"
Saulo swore.
"She thinks the Caldana will kill us?"
Han whispered back.
"Probably," Kira said. "She gave me one of those gas bomb thingies. It's in my pocket."
"But we have no breather masks this time,"
Han pointed out.
"Nope."
"We need an escape route."
"Hey, enough with the committee," the Caldana woman barked. "Are we doing this exchange or not?"
Kira moved to follow her, saying under her breath, "Help me memorize the layout. Keep an eye out for decent cover and escape pods."
"I remember seeing a jettison hatch from the viewing window," Han said. "It was aft, near the pulse engine."
"That's a terrible place for an escape pod," Saulo said.
"The worst."
"Oh, I know exactly where it is," Kira blurted, a little too loud.
"Are you sure?"
"Have I ever let you down?"
As they hurried down the cluttered corridor, Han considered that finding an escape pod might be the easy part. Their bigger problem was that, given the way this ship was maintained, there was a chance the pod hadn't been serviced in years. It might not work at all. The Caldana woman led them through a branching corridor, up in a lift, and to a doorway. The door no longer functioned. It was covered with a thick red velvet curtain that was blotchy and stained with something Han preferred not to know about. She swept up the curtain and ushered them inside. The conference room was actually a small hold with a high ceiling, a freight lift, and a grease-stained floor studded with bolts for lashing down cargo. But instead of cargo, the hold was filled with cheap furniture, a few ratty couches, two armchairs, some scattered tables, all secured to the floor with cargo straps. Caldana Syndicate thugs were everywhere, lounging with their boots up, sipping Corellian ale. One group off to the side was playing a version of Sabacc that used a couple of dice. Han almost liked this room. A fellow could relax in a place like this, put his feet up. But if he ever got a ship of his own, he'd keep it clean, in tip-top shape. No ale spills, no gear scattered in the corridors, and definitely no bulkheads replaced by curtains. Han would take care of his ship, treat it with the respect it deserved. A man rose from the couch. Like the rest, he wore all black, except for the Caldana triangle on his upper arm. His long black hair was pulled back into a queue, and gold studs shone from piercings in his ears and nostrils.
"Why'd you bring that on board my ship?"
he said, glaring at Saulo. Everyone else in the hold was staring at them. A few hands twitched toward their holstered blasters. Han instinctively shifted a little closer to his friend, noting that Kira did the same.
"There's a problem?" Kira said.
"Aliens are always a problem," the captain said. "Especially Rhodians. Those little slime balls are the scourge of the galaxy. Can't do honest business anymore without ending up with a Rhodian bounty hunter on your tail."
Saulo muttered darkly, something about wishing poisoned bowels upon the Caldana and all their spawn for 100 generations.
"What?"
the captain demanded.
"What did it say?"
"He said we should get on with our business," Kira said. Come to think of it, Han had yet to see a Caldana thug who wasn't human. That explained a lot. No wonder the Caldana were going to such lengths to keep Genra's shield tech out of the hands of the droid Gatra. They hated anything and anyone who wasn't human.
"You have the cube?" the captain asked.
"You have the credit transfer ready?" Kira asked.
"I do."
"Then we do too." She turned. "Saulo?" He pulled the data cube from his pocket, but had barely begun to offer it before the captain dashed forward and snatched it from his fingers. The captain handed it off to one of his thugs, who plugged it into a data pad. Holographic lines and flowing text filled the air of the cargo hold, lighting faces and furniture. Even the Sabacc players paused their game to look up.
"Seems legitimate," said the thug.
The captain nodded at him, and the thug pulled the cube from the data pad and stashed it, returning the hold to its previous gloom.
"Now the transfer," Han prompted.
He looked down at Kira, who mouthed, "Be ready." The thug tapped out a code. He offered the datapad to the captain, who reviewed the screen and then pressed his thumbprint to the reader. Something flashed.
"There," said the thug. 6,050,000 credits to Proxima. The rest to the engineer. Now we wait," said the captain.
He crossed his arms over his chest and stared at them, especially Su'ulo. Han hated waiting, and he hated awkward silences.
"Nice ship you got here," he said.
"Shut up, kid,"
the captain snapped.
"Okay, screw it. Actually, this ship is a piece of junk," Han said. "Maybe the ugliest I've seen. I can't believe she actually flies."
Kira elbowed him. "Han, what are you doing?" she whispered.
"At least I have a ship," the captain said. "What's a scrum rat like you know about flying? Enough to know that putting your power converter outside your hull means you have environmental problems. Does your crew realize they could die any day?"
The captain grinned. The thug grinned. A woman rose from the sofa, hand on her blaster, and Han nearly stepped back, startled. It was the woman from the foundry, the one who'd betrayed them all and attacked Tool. She was grinning too. The captain yelled,
"What kind of day is it, Caldona?"
They slammed their heels together and lifted their right forefingers in salute.
"A good day to die!"
they yelled back in chorus, their voices thundering. It was some kind of rallying cry, and Han had walked right into it. The sentiment proved one thing. Once this transfer went through, the Caldona were going to start shooting. He was sure of it.
"So,"
the captain said. He put a foot up on one of the tables and rested his forearm on his knee.
"Have you three had a chance to study the plans?"
Han hooked his thumbs at himself and opened his eyes wide.
"Us? No, of course not."
"Those are plans?" Kira asked. "I thought they were pretty lines."
"You mean that tube doesn't store celestial music?"
Su'ulo asked, and Han was glad no one but him could understand.
"It came through," the thug said. "We have the encryption key."
Han started to back toward the curtain that covered their exit, hoping his friends would follow.
"You're not going anywhere,"
the captain said, and Han froze.
"Not until we're sure this works."
"Wow," said Kira. "I'm literally holding my breath in suspense."
The captain gave her a strange look.
"She takes her deal exchanges very seriously," Han said, preparing to hold his breath.
He hoped Su'ulo had understood Kira's message too. The thug threw his hands up in triumph.
"It worked! We got it!"
A cheer rose from everyone gathered. Backs were slapped, bottles of ale were clinked, and one man collapsed against the sofa like the weight of the galaxy had just lifted from his shoulders. Kira cleared her throat. When all eyes were on her, she said,
"We'd like an escort to our shuttle now."
Her right hand was inside her jacket pocket. Han began to breathe deeply through his nose, preparing his lungs for the torture to come.
"You seem like good kids," the captain said. "I'm sorry we have to do this, but we can't leave any loose ends. I'm sure you understand. You've seen our faces, our ship, those plans."
Han's hands went up in what he hoped was a gesture of surrender.
"We saw nothing. We were never here."
The captain shook his head. He seemed truly regretful.
"Sewer rats like you sell information cheap. We can't take the chance."
He pulled his blaster from his holster and flicked release, changing the setting from stun to kill. Kira yanked the gas bomb from her pocket. Han held his breath. The captain aimed for his head. Kira engaged the switch and tossed the metal sphere into the air.
What the?
A split-second distraction was all they needed. They turned and sprinted for the curtained doorway. Blaster fire erupted around them, but it was messy and unfocused.
Watch the gas!
Someone yelled.
Take cover!
Yelled another. Han reached the curtain first. He yanked it aside and ushered Saulo and Kira through. A blaster bolt singed his hair as he ducked through after them. Fleeing while holding one's breath was even more torturous than he'd anticipated. His lungs burned. Spots danced in his vision. His heart pumped so hard and fast, he thought it might tumble from his chest. Kira turned a corner and bent over, gasping. Saulo and Han nearly collided with her back. They spent a precious moment sucking in air.
You think that worked?
Kira asked.
I don't hear blaster fire anymore, Han said.
That cargo hold was a lot bigger than the room we were in the last time we set up one of those,
Saulo said.
The gas won't be as concentrated, and it might not have affected everyone.
Han translated for Kira, who said, And you can bet one or two of them were quick thinking enough to hold their breath and get out of its range. Plus, we don't know how many of them are on the rest of the ship.
Let's find an escape pod, Han said.
That's the plan. Kira turned and sprinted down the corridor.
Follow me! You know where you're going?
Han said, still breathless.
Yes,
she called over her shoulder.
A schematic of the ship was posted on the wall. Saw it earlier.
That meant this ship had once been a fully compliant regulation freighter before someone had desecrated it. Well, that was lucky. But there was more to it than just luck. Kira had known to look for the schematics and had the presence of mind to memorize what she saw. A spark of hope blossomed inside him. They could do this. Then a ship-wide alarm began wailing, and the corridor they traveled pulsed with red light.
Mika!
Saulo swore.
You were right, Kira! Han yelled. Someone escaped that gas!
There's the lift!
Kira hollered.
Get in! Quick!
They tumbled inside. Footsteps pounded nearby. A half-dozen Kaldana pirates turned a corner and bore down on them. They raised their blasters. The lift closed, and blaster fire dented the door. Kira punched deck three, and they lurched upward.
Too close,
Saulo said.
Deck three is mostly maintenance access, Kira said. I'm hoping it won't be fully occupied.
People could still be waiting for us, so be ready, said Han.
The lift door slid open, revealing a dark corridor lit only by the red alarm light. Junk was piled everywhere. Spare parts, old furniture, bits of armor, a tool cart. But no people. They stepped outside.
Hold the door, Kira ordered Saulo.
Then to Han,
Help me shovel this stuff inside the lift. Everything that can fit. Hurry!
They complied. Han worked as fast as he could, lifting and heaving junk into the lift. When it could hold no more, they pushed the tool cart partway inside so it blocked the door.
There, Kira said, looking smug. Even if they get that lift working, there won't be room for anyone to ride it.
Smart, Han said. Now let's go, quietly now.
Her eyes brightened with the compliment, but she hurried down the corridor on light feet, the boys following after her. They paused at every junction to peek around the corner, making sure no one was in sight before continuing on.
There has to be another lift,
Saulo whispered.
Yeah, the ship is too big for just one turbo lift, Han said.
It's on the port side, Kira whispered. The Kaldana will get up here eventually, so stay alert.
Kira led them around a corner and smack dab into a sealed bulkhead.
Blast, she said.
Han tried the access panel, but nothing happened.
Now what?
Move over,
ordered Saulo. He whipped a cable from his back and attached one end to his data pad, the other to the terminal beside the access panel.
You know what will be great right now,
Saulo said, even as he keyed into his data pad.
A scomp link. Or better yet, an astromech droid.
Hurry, said Kira. I think someone's coming.
The access panel whirred with activity. Running footsteps approached. From somewhere close by came the sound of clutter being kicked aside.
This way,
someone said.
Solo, Han whispered.
I just have to believe I can do it,
Solo was muttering.
Almost got it. Come on, Force, help me out. There.
The bulkhead slid open. Blaster fire erupted all around them. The air smelled of ozone and burned fabric. Kira raced through, and Saulo tried to follow but stumbled.
On your feet!
Han yelled, yanking him up by his shirt and shoving him through the doorway. Together they tumbled to the floor. Kira smashed her palm against the access panel, and the bulkhead slammed down behind them.
There's no lock, she said. We have to run for it!
Something's wrong with Saulo,
Han said. The Rodian wasn't getting up. His legs were splayed across the floor, his head lolling. But his hand still gripped that datapad as if it were life itself.
Come on, pal. On your feet, Han said, tugging at Saulo's arm.
But he wouldn't budge.
Saulo, we have to go, Kira said.
The Rodian reached slowly with his free hand, pulled back his jacket, and revealed a gaping, steaming wound in his side. A blaster had caught him from behind, taking a chunk of his back and stomach. Blood dripped on the floor around him.
Oh, said Kira. Oh, no.
Han's stomach clenched. The sight, the smell. He closed his mind to it and reached for his friend.
Fine, I'll carry you. We'll get out of...
Stop,
Saulo whispered. He lifted his datapad toward Han.
Take it. You'll need it. Access escape pod.
What? No, we need you to do that. If you'll let me carry...
Just believe you can do it,
Saulo said. His voice was growing weaker. He waved the datapad, the cable still dangling.
Take it.
Han took it.
Saulo.
I was wrong, wasn't I?
Saulo said.
About the Force. None of it was real. It was never with me.
His gaze had become unfocused, as though he was looking through Han instead of at him. Something pounded against the bulkhead door.
I don't know.
Han was torn between trying to comfort his friend and making a run for it. The Kaldana would come through that door any second. Suddenly, Kira was at Saulo's side. She grabbed the sides of his head and pulled him to her so that their foreheads met.
The Force is real, Saulo. It's been with you the whole time. It's the only reason we made it this far.
Really?
Really. Thank you.
He sighed.
Kira, tell Rizzo. Tell my brother I'm sorry. About the speeder.
Saulo's head fell to his chest. His breathing stilled. A giant hole was opening up where Han's chest used to be. A huge black hole that was going to swallow him and this ship and the entire galaxy. Something tugged on his hand.
Han, we have to go. Saulo's dead.
No, it wasn't a hole at all. He'd been wrong about that. It was rage. White, hot, blinding rage. Something exploded from his chest, a primal scream that echoed everywhere. Han rushed the bulkhead door and pounded it with his fists, his feet, his shoulder.
Han, please!
He fell to his knees, vaguely aware that he'd hurt himself. His fingertips met blood, and he thought it was his. But no. Saulo's blood. His friend was dead. Something got through to him, Kira's pleading voice, perhaps. He had another friend, someone who still needed his help. Han jumped to his feet.
Let's go,
he said gruffly. Kira loosed a breath of relief.
This way,
she said, tearing down the corridor. They passed some storage lockers, a small repair bay, and finally turned right into a short, low hallway that dead-ended at a small door.
Escape hatch, said Han.
They skidded to a halt. The door gave Han a slight start. Its shape and inset reminded him of the sewer openings beneath the streets of Corellia. Kira tried to palm it open, but it wouldn't budge. Han stared at Su'lo's datapad. There was a way past that door. There had to be. A distant crash sounded. The Caldana were coming through the bulkhead.